Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us for another live broadcast from TKD Coaching and our expert coach interviews series. Thank you for tuning in. I hope everyone is safe and well as possible out there and getting used to a bit of isolation and hopefully enjoying a bit of peace maybe and hope things are okay wherever you may be. Just a reminder about these live streams, you're welcome to comment and ask questions because we are live, so love you to do that. There's a little link that says StreamYard. It should be just above this broadcast. If you click that where it says grant StreamYard permission, that way we'll be able to see your comments and questions and know who you are. So that would be really great as you could do that. In fact, to get that started, if people would just like to say hello, maybe what country you're from, and we'll give that a little test, that would be good. Master Rocky, hello. That's great. So we're seeing some real people out there, welcome. Yeah, I'd love you just to say what country you're all from. If you'd like to give a comment, the comment's just like a normal Facebook comment, but that should appear with your name on the screen as long as you've done that little verification. Hi, Mr. Bishop. Welcome. Hello, Facebook user from Scotland. We don't know your name because you haven't done the little verification, so that would be good if you could. So we're looking good. All right, I think we'll get started. Thank you, everybody. Well, welcome, Malaysia, Mr. Krager. I love it when these things work. Okay, we'll get started. Okay, so today our interview is with Mr. Mark Trotter. He is, as most of you will be aware, a multi-world champion in many of the ITF disciplines over many years, longest standing member of the New Zealand team and really the face of the New Zealand team, probably our most well-known Taekwondo practitioner over the years. And now the face of TKD Coaching, he has really been instrumental in making this platform take off and work. And he's in around 20 of our videos and has really just done a wonderful job with making this happen. So it's my great pleasure to welcome Mark onto the broadcast this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing?
I hope they're good. I think they're saying they're good.
Hope so. They're all in lockdown.
Yeah. So, Mark, as people put comments up, I'll try and get them up on the screen. If you get the opportunity to read them, do so, or otherwise later.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, before we start, a little surprise for you, Mr. Trotter.
That doesn't sound good.
Old friend of yours just wants to pop in and say hello. Look at that.
Miss Cross, how are we?
Very well. Good morning to you both. And good evening to me. I'm good, considering. Nice to see you. Yeah. I was watching you behind the scenes, getting ready. It was funny.
I was just, for anyone that doesn't know, it was Miss Cross's birthday about 4 or 5 days ago. So happy birthday, ma'am.
Thank you very much. It was on Sunday, yes. Self-isolation was lovely. But
yeah, the best way to be.
Loads of FaceTimes. It was great.
Yeah.
Awesome, lots of messages, awesome. Master McPhail, sorry.
I was just going to say, I thought it would be good to have two of the living, definitely living icons, legends.
I hope so.
These days. I know. On together, and I know that Julia and Mark are really great mates from way back. In fact, how far back, Mark, when did you first meet?
I first met Miss Cross in 2007. She wouldn't remember, but I do. And I guess I've always watched her and admired her tremendously. And first time I went over, I think, was 2012. Is that right, Jules, that I came over?
I was talking to Gilles today, one of my students, and I said, "When?" I was trying to think when I first met you. And I said 1999, but I was like, Mark, would have been old enough to do that. So.
No, definitely not.
Well, I was away, totally wrong with the years. But yeah, we've been friends for a long, long time. And yeah, came across to Scotland, did a seminar here. And
got some guidance from Miss Cross before the Spain World Championships, training together. And yeah, it was really great training with her and her students over there. And just trying to expand knowledge and travel with people that I'd always wanted to train with.
I know. And
who invited you to Scotland first? Was that actually Miss Cross or someone else, or how did you get there?
No, I think I approached Miss Cross to go and train with her, and I messaged her.
You were traveling, you were doing some other work. I don't know what it was, with the movies or something, but you were doing something else, that you were in Europe at the time.
I think I had been training with Stefan Tapilasu, and
right.
I was staying with him, and I had contacted Miss Cross to go over and train and learn a little more before I went and competed. So I think I came and stayed about 2 or 3 weeks, isn't that right, Jules?
I think it was about two weeks.
Yeah, so it was for a couple of weeks. So yeah, it was great, and got to stay with Miss Cross at her place, and I think we travelled to Ireland together for a competition there.
We did.
And yeah, it was great.
Well, while I've got you both online, can I ask you both something that's dear to everybody's hearts at the moment? Like, what do we do at the moment during this lockdown, the coronavirus thing? I had a brief talk to Julia yesterday, and she's passionate about providing stuff for students to see online and trying to keep things going, like, similar to what Master Hutton was talking about last week. So, Julia, can we go to you first? So what are you doing during this difficult time?
My guys, a couple of my senior black belts have been very proactive in doing videos themselves in my gym, but only alone. And Gilles and Michael, they've been, last 2 weeks, we've posted so much stuff. We decided not to do a live video cam just yet, to give parents and students the time to kind of adjust to what's going on and not have to go, oh, we need to be at the screen at this time. So we decided, after we've got a group of my senior black belts, we talked together and we decided it'd be much better to put a series of posts up so they can do when they want, but we're posting daily. And one of my students is brilliant with quizzes, so he's doing quizzes online on our Facebook that they have to fill in either the alphabet in Korean, then translate it to English, or vice versa. So we're trying to keep things up to date. I've not been so working a lot behind the scenes and trying to keep the business alive and doing all the backbone of the work. So my guys have just been incredible, and I just can't, and girls, I can't thank them enough. So yeah, we've had a meeting again over FaceTime and what we do in the next stages, and the kids have been sending us videos and we give them feedback, and they'll send us questions and we'll give them feedback. So at the moment I think we're doing a lot, because as I said, I'm not a parent, but my sister is, and they're just overwhelmed with trying to homeschool, trying to keep. So I think it's really good to give them a block that they can work through themselves and not have to go, oh, I need to do it now. So that's what I've been trying to do. Yeah, there's more in the planning, and I've been doing a little bit of painting my gym myself, so that's keeping me active.
And Mr. Trotter, I know you've been doing some long hours actually, trying to do video feedback type stuff. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, we've been trying to do similar to Miss Cross, and but we're trying to provide each of our students with individualized training programs and sessions for them. So basically they're sending us what they would like to work on, and we we do the video, send it back, and kind of guide them in that way. I tried a couple of generic videos and I didn't even post them up. I didn't like it. So, you know, I think it's a little bit of something different for them, but I totally agree with Miss Cross. The students are, you know, the parents are struggling with the children. I've got our little 3-year-old daughter at home every day, and you know, she just keeps asking to go to daycare every day and wants to see her friends. So just trying to keep them entertained is quite difficult. So, you know, if we can provide parents, and I guess that's part of it, doing an individualized video for each of them, we're trying to guide some of the parents as well and say, you know, this is what we think that you should try and help them with, and try and, you know, a lot of phone discussions and things like that. So yeah, a lot of one-on-one stuff on whether it be online or sending videos backwards and forwards.
Yeah. I mean, I tend to agree with both of you that I'm trying to do content too, but there's not a heck of a lot of engagement. It seems like people are either having a nice break or they're flat out with their families, and maybe in a few weeks that'll change. I'll be more desperate for doing some training and doing some stuff. But at the moment, they seem to be chilling, which is okay too. So I think if we don't get too stressed about providing fantastic online content, I don't think it matters for a while. We can just take it easy, as hopefully everyone is doing.
Yeah, I mean, I know. Obviously, we've spoken, Master McPhail, and you were kind of one of the first people I reached out to for all my students, and you know, sort of making sure our club is well looked after with content. And like I've said to them, you know, they're pretty blessed to have things like YouTube, but also TKD coaching, you know. And I sort of spoke to you and organized an instructors package that we could, all our students could access it. And, you know, I'm getting the same question about Dosan. Can you send me Dosan or can you send me Chungmu? And and it'll be slightly different questions, and I don't really want to video it 300 times. So I sort of thought the best thing for them to do is jump online and have a look at this.
Great. Okay. Well, it's neat to have you both on the interview this morning. Thank you very much, Julia Cross.
Thank you very much for having me, and it was great to see you both.
Great to see you, Jules.
And we'll keep in touch and enjoy the rest of your interview. But thank you for the ideas. That was great.
Thank you.
Absolutely, Jules. Great to see you.
Much appreciated. Okay, take care.
Bye. Much love. See you, Jules.
Alrighty.
Fantastic. It was great to see you.
Yeah, little surprise for you. Try and do something.
Nah, it's awesome. we were just messaging the other day on her birthday. I sent her a message and a video with my little girl. So yeah, that was awesome to see her.
That's good. Okay. Can we go back to the start? You were 5 years old when you first joined Taekwondo. Do you remember much? I don't remember anything when I was 5. Do you remember the first sessions or anything?
Yeah, no, I remember everything. We just went past a couple of weeks ago, actually. My father's working out of he's leased a factory directly opposite the training hall where I first started. So we drove past there probably about a month or so ago now, and I was explaining to my partner that's where I'd started, and I remember going in, and my parents wouldn't let me start. I think I actually asked when I was 4 to go along to I'm sure it wasn't Taekwondo, but I wanted to do martial arts, you know. And yeah, they told me I had to wait. And for my 5th birthday, they took me along, and then I just sat at the back of the hall. I wouldn't train. So, I remember the instructor, Mr. Phil Swanson. It was a pretty big club. I think we had about 80 members back then, 1990, I think it was. So, yeah, a lot of members, and I was just a little kid that sat at the back and cried for a few weeks, I think, before I actually got started.
Yeah, because I remember that time, because I remember going and grading the club, because I've been your examiner all the way through, right? So
yes,
I don't remember exactly, but I remember Phil Swanson being pretty excited about the club because it had grown really big, and it was he was good instructor, eh? He was doing good
stuff. He was a great instructor. Yeah. I mean, even now, I still think back to some of his classes. And I think one thing that I always really enjoyed is there was always a bit of everything. It wasn't you just did patterns or you just did sparring or just self-defense that night. It was, you got a little bit of everything, and he was so creative, you know. Even some of the things that I've heard, like Phil Thompson talking about with the self-defense, and just little exercises you can do about like turning the lights off and grabbing, yeah. You know, so I was doing that when I was 7 years old at our club back then, you know. He was just so inventive with things that he'd do, and it always made it a lot of fun.
Yeah. As you got a little bit older, who were your early influences, like people that inspired you to either want to be a competitor or a better practitioner?
I think it was a lot of the New Zealand team from when I was younger. I remember when the first joint New Zealand team went over in 1994 to the World Championships, and you know, I remember watching them train in Epsom under Mr. David Lee, and I think it was, you know, obviously someone like Mr. Mark Rounthwaite. You know, he was always such an inspiration, and Steve McQuillan, who later became my instructor, guys like John Sorden, Jeanette Joe, you know, and I just remember all I wanted to know was what a world champs was like, because they all kind of came back from 94 and 97, and I just wanted to talk to them and know what it was about and how it worked, and everyone that I kind of spoke to, I was like, how was it, what did you do, and I was only a little kid, and their answer was, oh no, it was cool, Mark. And I wanted so much more than that from them, you know. I wanted to sit for hours and talk with them about something like that. So I remember getting my hands on some videos, and I think I didn't really know anyone internationally. It was before YouTube or anything like that existed. So it was definitely a lot of that early New Zealand team. Master Patterson, Master Manjika. I think Master Manjika was a real big one for me. I always love watching him.
One of the first times I realized the way you work, and I think has made you a great instructor that you are, is when I visited your house after we'd been to Italy for the World Champs, and you showed me it was before the internet, and or at least before we used it, and you had a rack of videos, and you'd be analyzing these people, and you say, oh, this is such and such from this country, and she does her sidekick like this. And I'm thinking,
absolutely.
Oh, I never knew people analyzed, got hold of these tapes, yeah, the way you did. So I think that's probably enabled you, that sort of got your eye and to be able to see what you see. Because I noticed when you're teaching, you see stuff that other people just don't see, and you're able to pick out the important things and help people that way.
Yeah, I think that was obviously a massive learning tool for us, of having videos and things like that, because we didn't have that international exposure back then. We, you know, once every 2 years would send a team to the World Champs, and that was kind of it. So getting hold of those videos, I remember talking to people overseas and asking them to send me copies. Miss Cross, Julia Cross, was actually one of them. You know, I'd message her before a European Champs and, hey, could you please video this and send it to me, and I'm happy to pay you for it. And yeah, and I just collected and collected and collected so much of it that I just sit down. I think maybe a bit obsessed with it, wanting to win, I guess, and wanting to be on that level that I enjoyed competing and didn't lose all the time.
Yeah. So speaking of that, once you had won, and especially once you had a world title or two, what was the pressure like to keep a hold of that title? Like, was that big for you? Was it difficult to overcome that pressure?
I guess because I was quite young, I didn't feel that kind of pressure. I didn't really understand it to its fullest, and I think I just wanted to go out and have fun, and it was something that I did for fun. So of course you want to win, and I think that hasn't changed in me at all. It doesn't matter what I do, I want to do well at. But I think that because I was so young, I didn't understand it. And the last competition I went and did in Italy, I made the final, and I went back to the room because we were staying so close to the venue. And I remember calling Brenda, and I was actually dry reaching in the room. I was so nervous. And I remember talking to her about it and saying, I don't know how much fun this is anymore. And And she said, yeah, but you're in the final. And I said, yeah, it's still, it's, and I think I really started to feel some pressure later on that, you know, I definitely felt that side of things coming as I was a bit older.
Yeah. And knowing what you know now about your body and what you've been able to cope with training wise, advice for younger athletes coming up, like how much is too much training sessions per week or hours per week? Because I'm quite concerned that some of the younger ones and the pressure they're putting on their bodies and their joints. So I just wondered what your thoughts were.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, Master McPhail, I had quite a few injuries when I was young. I dislocated my hip, always pulling muscles, always hamstrings, calves. Yeah, like quite significant injuries. They weren't, it wasn't ever anything small. And I think that that was definitely a lack of knowledge. And I don't know if training hours is, I think everybody's different. And I think one thing that I believe now is very important is strength and conditioning training for Taekwondo. I mean, I didn't kind of discover that until I was a bit later in my career. I always just did Taekwondo and that's all I needed to do. But one thing I do say to my students now is if they're injured, they have to treat it properly. And not just go, I think I did a lot of the, oh, she'll be right, it'll be okay, it'll sort itself out and keep going. And I think that's a really big mistake. So training hours, I think that varies depending on the person. I think nowadays it's probably more important for younger ones to have a much heavier focus on their education, as opposed to probably when I was young. I think that that's very important, that injuries are looked after, and we have so much knowledge in those areas now. You know, you go to physios, chiropractic, osteos, specialists for any type of area. You know, I think that that's very important for each student to make sure that they do look after their injuries.
Okay. Of all the events that you've medaled in, what was your favorite or most rewarding? Because it's three patterns. Oh, you've done pattern sparring, pre-arranged sparring, team events as well.
Yeah, I think probably the two I can think of would be 2002 Puerto Rico, becoming world champion there. That was. I remember going into the stadium for the weigh-in with Master Gato. He was the tournament organizer from Puerto Rico, and they had a medal on the gold medal on the weigh-in table where the judges were, and I remember the coach at the time, Steve McQuillan, saying to me, do you want one of them? He called myself, Daniel Kerr, and Kyle Caldwell actually, and DJ Thompson, and he said, do you want one of them? Well, you better fight hard, and you know, you've done a lot of work for this, so remember what that looks like and think about it. So I think that was a pretty special one for me. I sort of really did a lot of work for that, and it was my last junior world championship. So yeah, I think that was probably one. And I think maybe it's a bit of a different one, but like you spoke about team events, sir, but I think the 2011 world championships here, I think the team pattern medal, I really enjoyed winning that.
Right.
I think that was something pretty special, because New Zealand had never done it. We'd never really put a lot of focus into a team pattern, because, you know, we all live far apart, and generally we have really good special technique and power breakers. So we put a lot of focus on that as a team event. And it was one year that we seemed to have a really, you know, good team. And four of us were from one gym, one school. And it was just a whole bunch of mates hanging out. And I remember we all took, I think it was like a week or 2 weeks off work or studies. And we all went into where you teach out of now, the Warrior Training Facility, up in Marua Road in Ellerslie. And we spent 8-10 hours a day in there. And we just came up with these team patterns and did it over a week or 2 weeks. And that was it. We kind of didn't really have specific trainings for it again. It was all done, and it was just a couple of weeks of hanging out with some mates, and and we ended up winning the World Champs with it, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's probably the way.
Yeah, no, it was good fun.
Shifting to instructing now, and I'd like to talk just briefly about instructing rather than coaching. You've had your own club for many years. What are the challenges for you as an instructor?
I think for me as an instructor is trying to make sure everyone has a decent understanding of each part of whether it be a grading syllabus or certain techniques, or I think that's very important. And it was very obvious probably a couple of months back. It was just after my grading, actually. I came back to club and we focused quite a bit on self-defense, because I think that that's a very important part, and it's something that I think that everyone in Taekwondo should be, especially black belts, should be able to do with confidence. And it surprised me that some of these amazing competitors, that they're world champions, vice world champions, that they felt really uncomfortable doing self-defense. So I really wanted to spend some more time doing things like that in our club, because we focus quite heavily, obviously, on tournaments and grading preparations, that it wasn't so much about things like self-defense. So I think for me, it's trying to find a good balance between all the parts in Taekwondo that make us martial artists and not just competitors or athletes. So I think that would probably be the big thing I find challenging.
Yeah, great. And any advice for instructors out there or new coaches out there, if you are having to start again, or is there anything you'd do differently perhaps?
I don't know if I'd do differently. I think everything, whether it be good or bad, has kind of made me where I am today. And I think that you have to, I remember my parents actually saying to me, because they were obviously quite involved in Taekwondo right through when I was young. My mother was the manager of the New Zealand team for a number of years. And I remember her saying to me, it was when some of my students ended up going through and winning world champs and that she said, you get more enjoyment out of watching that than almost than you winning, don't you? And I said, yeah, I do. And I don't know why that is, but I think it's pretty special to see your students achieve something, whether it be a grading or... So I guess as an instructor, really wanting the best for your student, and it doesn't necessarily have to be about you, it's about your student and making them the best person they can be, whether that be in Taekwondo or outside of Taekwondo. I think that's very important.
Right. I'm going to attempt to do something a bit different now and bring up some photos.
Oh, God.
Technology-wise, can't guarantee this is going to work, but I just would like to, hopefully you'll see the photos and just tell us what it was about or any memories you've got. So let me try and see how we go. Can you see that?
Yeah, that's 2002 with now Grandmaster Daha, with myself and Tony Moki. I think you're the one actually taking the photo, sir.
I think so.
Yeah, that's the same trip in 2002 at the first Oceania Championships.
Right, that was Oceania.
In Canberra.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in Canberra. We flew to Sydney and then drove down, up, I think. Yeah, I think I got my eye split open in that fight and stitched back up, actually.
Okay. And I remember the drive for some reason. I remember you two were in the back of the car. It was quite humorous. I don't remember. It was quite a good trip, I think.
I think it was one of the first kind of close encounters we'd had with Grandmaster Daha. And you know, I think me and Tony, being pretty young, I think we're probably, 15 there or something. I'm just looking at what I'm wearing, and I think my mother's told me that I had to dress appropriately. I don't know how appropriate that is.
That's, speaking of Tony Moki, you guys were in a squad together. Let me try and find that. Now, I'm not sure if you can see.
Wow. Yeah, wow, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, dug that out.
1998.
Yeah, so you and Gemma Walton, you were going to go somewhere that was cancelled, so we sent you to Martha Menezes' club.
That's right. We were going to the Junior World Championships in India in 1998. They were doing nuclear testing in India at the time, and the government recommendation was not to enter the country, or there was no insurance. So we ended up going over to the States. I remember the day that phone call came, actually. It was my mother was the manager, and she rang and told me, and I remember just crying and crying and crying that I couldn't go. And I think, I think that this was a pretty cool trip the three of us got to go on. It was quite a lot of fun. The first New Zealand junior team.
It says your favorite food is tacos and pasta when you were 14.
Probably hasn't changed too much.
Okay. Just thought I'd check.
Yeah, it was obviously Tony and Gemma. Gemma obviously ventured off not too many years after that. I think about 2001, she ended up venturing off. But me and Tony obviously been really good friends for a number of years, and even still we catch up. You know, I saw her last year, and it's always great to see her. She always brings a smile to my face, and for anyone that knows her, she's pretty funny. She's pretty funny.
And the last one, I think this is the earliest video I have of you, and I'm not 100% sure it's you, but I'm 99% sure, so you should be able to tell me. I just happened to find it yesterday randomly. It looks like your sparring style, and you're sparring someone very tall, and it looks like maybe a county's Manukau or a national tournament. So I'll see if I can find that, and hopefully this will work. Let's see.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's definitely you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That was 2002, might have been 2001 even. I think that was nationals fighting against counties in the team event. So it would have been for...
time. It's quite a nice little clip.
Wow, I could imagine doing something like that nowadays and just getting back kicked by one of these young guys, I'm pretty sure. No, that's really cool. That's very cool to see. You have a way of digging these things out, sir.
I know. Well, there is actually a lot more, but finding the stuff is the trick. So I will just try and end that. Get rid of that. Got your back. Okay.
Right.
Oh, thank you for those comments. That was really cool.
No, it's very cool.
Yeah. Last thing is friends in Taekwondo. You know, a lot of people, we hear all the time that people join for fitness or self-defense or whatever, and they end up staying for the friends that they make. So Julia Cross, we've already talked about. Who are the other, or some of the other great friends you've made, especially overseas, I guess, over the years?
Yeah, I think the New Zealand friendships are big ones for me. People like Shane Black and Elisa Parker, Kane Bajan and Estelle. People like this that, you know, I was only talking to Estelle and Shane last night. Actually, they messaged and called about having a baby boy. So, yeah, we were having a big discussion about that. I mean, those are the ones that I get to see all the time, which is nice. The overseas friends, yeah, that's definitely a massive part of it for me. I got to travel over to Argentina and stay with the likes of Soledad Serrano and training, and I think I lived with her for about 5 or 6 months over there, her and her two brothers, and just staying in Argentina and training, or Poland, or staying with Miss Cross. Stefan Tapilatu is another one, going up and staying with him and training up there in Holland. Master Thomas Barada in Slovenia, you know, even up until last year, I was over there doing some seminars for him, and that was awesome. And I guess someone like Julio Carlos that I've done a lot of seminars with, we traveled right through South America together and even up into North America and Europe, doing a combined seminar. He'd have to be a really, really good friend of mine, actually. So, yeah, I think those side of things are kind of irreplaceable, and I definitely keep in touch with those people, even when some of them do stop doing Taekwondo. I try my best to sort of make sure I keep in touch with them, especially someone that's changed how I think or what I do, or really given me the time of day, especially someone like Miss Cross, you know, or Stefan Tapilatu, or these guys or girls that have taken time out of their, especially when they're, some of them are an older generation to me, and they took their time as the older generation to talk to me, and especially someone like me being young and so inspired by them, you know, the Stefans, the Julias, the Tomas, the Kachas Olives, people like this, that they really took their time, and out of, I guess, that, becoming really good friends with people like that, and sharing what we both enjoy doing, which is Taekwondo, which is really cool.
Yeah. A question's just come in from Mark Bishop asking about being a parent now. And has that perhaps affected things for you?
Yeah, Mr. Bishop. Yeah, it definitely has. I think when I was teaching at one of the schools we have here, the parents all said to me that I had a lot more patience. So I don't know, maybe I wasn't a very patient person before I had kids. But yeah, it's definitely... definitely brought a side that I can appreciate. I can appreciate the struggles that parents have with kids. I want to help the parents with their kids and be a good role model, because I would like it to be someone that I would want my daughter to be around and be a role model for her. So I think that, you know, definitely when the parents said to me, you have a lot more patience, that was that was quite funny to me, because I always thought I was quite a patient person until they all said that I was very patient with the kids. And since I've had Paris, that I've been very patient. So, yeah, that's definitely something that changed for me.
Okay, great. I'd like to finish the interview with a little bit of coronavirus, because it just wouldn't be right if we didn't talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've got a new gym. Amazing new facility with, I presume, a new lease.
Yep. Yeah, we do.
How are you going to get through?
We have very supportive members that will help us, you know, and support us, and want the gym to be there when we get back. And a good friend of mine runs a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu club here in Auckland, New Zealand. And he said to his members, just remember that, you know, if everything stops, then this may not be here when you come back. And something that I kind of sat there and thought, wow, that's really true. So it is very hard. We as you said, we've got a brand new lease on a building here in Auckland. Spent a lot of time, a lot of money setting it all up. And yeah, this couldn't come at a worse time for that gym, really. So yeah, we'll try everything we can to keep that afloat, and like you say, I think keeping the members with, I think that's why I'm trying to do the extra things for my members, is because I want them to be there when I come back. And for me, it's not just about having a gym there that they can come to. It's, you know, Since I've had the facility, it's interesting to see how the students act there, and you know, they want to hang around and stay and talk, and I don't know, hang out after training. You know, we've set it up with things like, we've got a TV upstairs with a sofa, and you know, all that kind of stuff, as a lounge upstairs, that if there's UFC fights, we put them on for the students, and we want them to come and hang out and eat together, and they're all really bought into that kind of culture, which is really cool. So yeah, it's a hard one, because everyone's asking questions and wants answers, and none of us know what's going to happen or how it's going to happen. So yeah, I think just trying to provide them with the best services I can, and really try and help them, even if it's in, you know, I think as instructors we all know that it's not just about Taekwondo. So, you know, even if it's in their day-to-day life, they're struggling with something, just to really try to be there for them and help them. And it can be something as simple as just a message to my students and asking them how they're doing and if they're training and making sure they are, and yeah, keeping in contact with them.
For those that don't know that are overseas, in New Zealand, we have only one death so far from coronavirus, and we have been on shutdown, like complete shutdown of pretty much everything for a week now. And our government's aim is to try and eradicate the disease before it gets in here. And, you know, so we're kind of hopeful that we're on top of it. We're lucky that we've been able to watch what other countries are doing, and we're a little bit ahead of what we can see in other countries. I think we're about 800 or something cases or something. So we're doing well, and people are, you know, pretty much behaving themselves and staying home. So, you know, maybe after the 4 week period, we'll be back. So hopefully, anyway.
Yeah, we put big things together that even at level 3 or something like that, where you're not meant to have big groups together, that we ran smaller sessions. You know, we had families of 2 and 3 and 4, and we just broke it all up. And yeah, it meant more hours in the gym, but you know, I would rather that people are still here doing Taekwondo when we come back, because you know, it would be a shame to see not just my gym, but any clubs around the country having to shut up shop because you know, of something like this. That would be really sad. So, you know, I think that, you know, I think New Zealand has a great system, and being able to put all the instructors in touch together, talking about ideas. I think it's awesome to be able to just contact any of them. We're all, you know, we've all known each other for a good amount of years, and being able to contact each other and ask for advice is always really good as well.
Well, thank you very much for today, for getting up early.
No problem. I was going to say that I'm not going to lie, this is probably the earliest I've been up since the shutdowns happened, but thank you, sir.
Otherwise, in the UK, it would just be too late for those guys. Sorry, Australia, it's just too early for you, but we don't care about Australia.
Yeah, I've actually got an interview after this one at 10 a.m., for 10 p.m. with a couple of the Italian team members, Sylvia and Christian. So yeah, I'm sort of bouncing from one to the next, but their one's at 10 p.m. in Italy. So yeah, that'll be interesting to see how many people are awake at 10 p.m. in Italy. So
fantastic, and thank you for all you've done for TKD coaching. You've been so supportive right from the start, and so generous with your time and helping to promote TKD coaching, so do appreciate you very, very much.
Thank you, sir. I think I said to you the other day, it's crazy that this platform is kind of design made for circumstances like this, not only for this, but you know, it's pretty much amazing. It's got so much content. So, you know, for all the people watching or listening, or you know, I thank you, Master McPhail, for putting something together like this, because it's pretty awesome to be able to have one place that we can all go and get content.
Thank you. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in. Really, really hope everyone's doing okay. I know every country is a little bit different and every circumstance is a little bit different, especially things like, you know, being faced with losing your job and so on. It's stressful. There's a lot of stuff going on. So I hope you are okay. Keep in touch.
Absolutely. Sorry to interrupt you, Master McPhail. And yeah, just for anyone that, if you want to do anything with your clubs like this, I'm happy to jump on and help your club out and answer any questions that your club or schools may have, and just try and support each other through something like this. So yeah, hope everyone's okay and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, sir.
See you on the next one.
Awesome. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.